Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out, procrastination, putting it off, kicking the can down the road. In, plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out, carpet in the bathroom. Like, why? In, knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
If you've been struggling with your weight, Mochi Health is here to help. Mochi Health is a long-term weight loss solution personalized to fit your unique needs and goals. Meet one-on-one with board-certified obesity doctors and registered dietitians who are on a mission to listen. Eligible patients can access custom-formulated GLP-1 medications at an affordable set price and get them delivered to their home each month. Take our free quiz at joinmochi.com and use code AUDIO40 at checkout for $40 off your first month of membership.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for a limited time and subject to change. Max 1 offer per account.
Nerd talk, talking about nerd talk, yeah!
Hi there, welcome to Nerd Talk Plus, our weekly deeper dive into the stories that make this world nerdier. From Odyssey's Nerd Talk, I'm Gregor. He'll sell you a home in Spokane. He's celebrity podcaster Brandon.
Hi, I wish.
Brandon got recognized at Costco in Spokane for our other podcast, the Full 90 Soccer Time podcast, and I think that's awesome.
Let's be clear. I was not recognized for having done the podcast. I was wearing a Sounders jersey, and a guy at a Costco employee stopped me and said, "Cool jersey. Where'd you get it?" I was wearing a warm-up thing over the top of it. It was also Sounders. And I was like, "Oh, I got it at the pro shop." He was like, "And are you also wearing the new jersey?" And I was like, "Yes, I am." And he's like, "I haven't seen one in person." And so I flashed him. I pulled up my shirt. And I was like, "My buddy sent this to me." And my wife, who sees that I'm not very good at ever talking about the things that I do that I like, she's like, "Oh, you should tell him that you do a podcast about the Sounders." I was like, no,
please.
People shouldn't. And he was like, "Oh, really? Which one?" And I was like, "Oh, it's called Full 90. And he was like, "Oh, I listen to you guys." And I was like, I'm Brandon. And he was like, "Oh, yeah, now I get it."
Celebrity podcaster Brandon. Everybody.
So shout outs to Andrew, who recognized me for the things I was wearing and not the thing that I do.
Well, to be fair, there's barely any content of us actually doing the thing on the internet where our faces are included.
True. And for good reason.
6 seasons of content of us talking about things we're not qualified for, but yeah. Anyway, that's our other podcast, Full 90 Soccer Time. But we're here to talk nerd talk. So neither of us is a scientist, engineer, or supervillain, but if you are, let us know what we get wrong and possibly what we even get right. And all we ask really is that you write a review.
Yeah, go write us a review. Like none of you have. So what I went and did today was I got access for the first time. I'm surprised it's taken me this long. I've tried before, but it was never successful. I got access to ChatGPT. GPT. And I asked ChatGPT to write us a review. And so I asked ChatGPT, write a 150-word review for my podcast about centaurs. And ChatGPT says, "As a mythology buff, I was thrilled to come across Nerd Talk. a podcast that explores the fascinating world of centaurs. The host's enthusiasm and knowledge about centaurs is infectious, and I found myself eagerly tuning into each episode to learn more. What sets this podcast apart from others is the in-depth research, and I was like, okay.
Slow down, okay.
And analysis that goes into each episode. The host doesn't just regurgitate common knowledge, aka the stuff that we find on Google, about centaurs, but dives into the historical and cultural significance of these fascinating creatures.
But we did that a little bit. I studied art, classical art and architecture in college, so there's
and
a
we both
bit there.
We both got 100% on
Greek mythology.
Yeah. But what I appreciate most about Nerd Talk Plus is the way it challenges common assumptions about centaurs. Yeah, all you racists about centaurs, not us. The host isn't afraid to explore the darker aspects of centaur mythology.
Hashtag centaur wieners.
It's true. And this adds a layer of complexity and nuance to the subject matter that I haven't seen in other podcasts. Overall, I highly recommend Nerd Talk Plus to anyone interested in mythology or just looking for a fresh take on centaurs.
Finally, someone gives us a fresh take on centaurs.
None of this, no more of this regurgitated crap.
Well, thanks, ChatGPT. Let's hope it never gets access to Wikipedia. It's going to be wildly disappointed. We come back, that review's been edited. It's like, never mind.
Great.
I now see where this all came from.
Yeah. It took me 5 seconds of Googling.
That was just like its primary goal. It took me 0.5 milliseconds of Googling. All right, well, that brings us to this episode's question of the week.
This episode's question of the week is, what is the best movie about the Earth?
Yeah. We'll get to that here in just a little while, especially with today's subject, which is a lot of fun. First, though, there's a weird new device that'll let you stay intimate with your partner from around the world, speaking of the Earth. And oh, boy, it's a contraption that consists of warm, moving silicone lips hooked up to sensors and actuators so you can smooch your partner from around the world. You know what smooching your partner is. Me, not so much, but. And it allows you to keep that physical touch, that physical intimacy going when you're not near one another. The first thing that my mind went to, we're not going to discuss just yet, but the second thing my mind went to is, like, can I have my dog lick it at home, and then, like, it feels like my dog is licking my face when I hold it up to my face? Or can I just, like, make out with my dog like my buddy Dan Soder does with his dog?
Nice.
I think it'd be one of the weirdest devices, though, to suddenly, like, have hacked. Like, you're just, like, smooching some creep who uses too much teeth. What is going on?
You're not kissing like my wife.
my wife doesn't use both her teeth.
Yeah. I guess I should, like, look at this thing.
Yeah, it's, if you do, it's even creepier.
I'm looking at it now.
Yeah.
No. I'm not interested in I get it, but like, this is one of those things where the scientists, or I guess roboticists that created this, said this is what this is for, wink, you know.
Right, like kissing machine. Okay.
Like, my friends and family won't read the paper that I wrote when I researched and produced this thing because of what it was actually for. So I had to put it, it's like when I tell people about the shows that I do with you, where I'm like, oh yeah, I do a show with my friend, it's just kind of about AI and nerdy stuff, and they're like, oh yeah, I'm not interested in that, right? Where
turns out there's a lot of centaur wiener being talked about. Yeah.
No, but it's like he had to like be like, okay, this is the thing that he's like, I still have to go to work in the morning and be somewhat respectable. So this is for kissing.
Yeah, exactly. That's what it is. My point is that, like, just don't let dudes control it because we're going to be gross.
Exactly. Like, I mean, that's exactly where I've just gone with it.
Yeah, like, so. You can't even trust us with a flashlight.
Yeah. Do you mean flesh?
Yeah, I mean, this is definitely a blowjob robot, right?
Yeah, it's a blowbot. I guess, like, you look at this thing, like, if you look at the picture of it, which if you just Google or Bing kissing machine at this point, you'll be able to find it. And it's not my uncle who always told me he was a kissing machine, okay?
He's like, give me a quarter and find out. He somehow makes money and gets creepy at the same time. That's pretty weird.
It's one of those things, if you, like, look at it, like, if you even picture using it for the thing that they're saying it's used for, you're like, I don't, like, it makes me think about how much of kissing is actually about the act of kissing, right? And not just, like, your faces being close to each other and the rest of it, right? Like, because if you look at this thing, I feel like you would also have to get, like, a plaster cast of your partner's face, you know, so that, and like it'd have to be made with that fleshy like material or like silicone or something like that, because otherwise you're just like your face is up to this tube that's kissing you back, and it feels, let's put it this way, one time I went to the Caribbean, and while I was there, we did this thing where we went out into the middle of the sea, and there was the sandbar, and you put your they put you in this like enclosure out there, just like this ring of rope, and yeah. They gave you some food, like some little like fish, and stingrays would come up to you. So it wasn't like an enclosure where they were enclosed, you were, and you would hold the food underneath you, and they would all come because that's where they knew the food was. And so you would put your hand with the food underneath the water, and then you would open up your hand, and the way that stingrays eat is that they swim over and then they suck up the food from above.
Did not tell me where you put the food. Okay?
I was like, wait a second.
It's kind of like a pocket and warm.
Yeah. And I think, like, looking at this kissing machine, the only thing I could, like that's just where my mind instantly goes, is to like the stingray sucking the food out of my hand. Like, that's what it looks like it would feel like. So if you like put your mouth up to it, it's like when you put your mouth up to a vacuum hose, like that's how the AI actually gets us.
I just like that you now pretty much know what it feels like to get a from a stingray.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that's, yeah.
That's the moral of the story,
it's a very
right?
special relationship.
I do think it's weird that behind the mouth it has pickle storage. I think that's weird. That's why would you need to go, why do you need a mobile cucumber? I don't understand. You just slide it right in through the... It's really weird. I don't...
Gross.
Now, the other day, I was doing my show prep before the show, before Nerd Talk, right? And I came across a headline about a music service creating custom playlists for you and then having an AI talk in between the songs about stuff you potentially care about, a.k.a. my whole job.
Yeah, the radio. Yeah.
And, like, we do this show, and imagine if you're just so tired of us talking about AI... And so you just give it a downvote on that part, and then it just knows not to talk about that. And for each person, it just only talks about your interests or things that it knows will make you mad or whatever. And I'm like, yeah, you don't like Marvel movies because the multiverse is just too much, because obviously it is. After Chris Evans and that butt left, like, come on, let's be real. What's, like, you tell your soulless manipulation bot not to talk about it, and then it doesn't anymore. So you still get nerdy stuff. But, like, I know a lot of people that hate space, and I'm like, well, that's a dumb thing to hate. But, like, they'd prefer that we don't spend an entire episode today later on talking about space, but we're going to. And so yeah. if you had AI-generated stuff and you were like, also, I always wanted to sound like Darth Vader. And you're like, okay, great. And then it just talks to you about the weather and Mustafar and things like that. And, like, it's it just seems terrifying to me.
But it's just like, it's like what we talk about all the time, where because we're getting so much more hyper focused and hyper specific with our preferences, and we're able to, and like the algorithms are picking up on like these micro behaviors, and they're able to pick out between like, this guy isn't interested in science, he's interested in this aspect, this very specific small like tangent of science. And so it's like, you know, people categorize or topic, like put things in under topics, right? In order to help you better find things, where within those topics there's a bunch of topics, and within those topics there's a bunch of topics. And
yeah, it's
and
how, like, we organize animals, like, kingdom, phylum, all that yeah. stuff. Like, and you these, just do it until you get to specifics.
Exactly. And so these algorithms are just like hyper, like identifying this one branch of topics that you're interested in, or like this one branch of a topic that you're interested in, like all the way down to this like very minute detail or action that you took on a specific piece of content, to the point where you're getting, you're like, I am interested in Chris Evans content, but not Marvel content. And like all of a sudden you're just getting TikToks of Chris Evans' butt, yeah. right? Or like, and like, That's what we talked about before. We're just getting more and more insular, where you're only going to get content that is relevant to you, and you're not going to have anything to talk to your friends about anymore, because you're going to be like, did you see this thing? And it's like, all of a sudden, I'm only going to be able to kiss my wife with this kissing machine. And it's like, what if I wanted to kiss the you know, a different Orca. Robot? Not that when my wife is a robot.
I just think it's weird that it keeps talking about how you should trust AI, and that anyone saying bad things about the robots just doesn't get how great they are and how they would never hurt you specifically with lasers to your crotch. I mean, it's fair. It's oddly specific, but that's kind of what you're talking about there. Also, I do hate crotch lasers, so it's like, I feel like I can definitely trust it.
Well, so as good as AI is going to be at specifically identifying like the topics and things that keep you entertained, mm-hmm. AI is also going to be like uniquely positioned to torture you the most effectively.
Going through a breakup? Yeah. Well, are you being nice to me? Did you feed the robots today? Because otherwise, I'm
crotch laser.
Crotch lasers. And terrible sad songs that make you feel bad.
It's like where people say, like, this is my, you know, people will say when they're going through something, or there's like a loud noise, or like a specific annoying noise, and they'll say, like, this is my hell, because if they had to spend an eternity doing that, it would destroy them. And so it's like AI will actually be able to identify what your quote unquote hell is, and only like when AI takes over and puts you in your human cage and shoots you with your crotch lasers, they're gonna know exactly the environment to create with your VR goggles that like absolutely tortures you to the point of breaking.
Yeah, and then have ultimate control.
Yeah.
It's funny because like TikTok, I like love it. I like love TikTok. It's like my throwaway television. People like reality shows. I like TikTok.
Yeah.
And it's, but I have my limit. I have like a time frame that I can like do it, and then I'm like, okay, I'm bored, or I fall asleep or something like that. Okay, fine. I start sending videos to John Manley, our former coworker and friend, and he's like, this is weird because I'm already seeing this. And so we're sending each other videos that we're both so our interests are similar enough that we're seeing the same things on TikTok. But also, that's like one way to control us into thinking that everything is great or terrible, is to show us the same things that it knows we'll both like, and then we can bond over it so they can control both of us or whatever. But then they like their ability to introduce new things to see how I feel about it. And specifically, if it's like, to be crude, if it's women with that are just like anything, I'm like, uh-huh, I'm into ancient Russian philosophy all of a sudden. This is really weird.
Yeah.
It's bleak, man. I think that the more that they can program directly to our nuances, the weirder we're gonna get, and the more away from anything like communally interesting we're gonna get. And then anyone who has like a lightning rod idea that can move people, probably for evil, is going to be able to rally the people that aren't on board with the machines yet. And so it's like, if you were like, if you're an extreme political person and you're like, have like a big, extreme, simple idea to digest, that might be able to cut through all of the algorithms.
Right.
But it used to be that everyone watched The Simpsons on Sunday night when I was a kid. And now it's like, that's still on somehow, 30 years in or whatever. I haven't seen it in years. I don't know who's watching that. No one ever talks about it. People barely talk about the same. There's like one show at a time that everyone can get on. What's the one on HBO right now? The Last of Us?
Oh, yeah.
I see that a lot. And then I mentioned to someone the other day, and they were like, what are you talking about? And I was like, you don't even get
it's
that.
It's like the entire idea of creating bubbles, right? But like even more and more specific and hyper-focused branches of these bubbles, you know? It's wild.
How are we going to go to concerts? Like, how is a band going to tour if the algorithm is picking the music and the person in between, I guess they'll just have the robot in between be like, go to this music company that is doing this concert.
You're going to get like, it's going to be, I was talking to somebody about movies this weekend, and you won't understand this reference.
It wasn't me.
It wasn't you. You have seen The Matrix though, and there's that scene where in the very beginning of The Matrix, where Neo gets the phone call and they say, turn left, duck under here. Like, and then, so basically they took that scene and made an entire movie out of it called like, Eagle Eye or something with Shia LaBeouf, where basically he just gets a phone call and is being told, you know, dive out that window, and miraculously he's like diving onto something that was there, right? You're just going to get a phone call in the future that's going to say, like, show up at this warehouse at 9 p.m. and like 15 other people that are also into Father John Misty will also be there.
But he'll have been dead for 10 years, and it'll just be
a hologram.
The reanimated hologram corpse of Father John Misty with an AI voice and recreated voice and an AI brain.
Yeah, and it's going to be only the, and it's going to be those 15 people who also were like always thinking, what if Father John Misty did Beyonce covers? And that's going to be the entire night, right?
Father John Beyonce.
Father Beyond Misty.
Father Bay Misty.
Yeah. But I bring up Father John Misty specifically because I am seeing him in concert this summer. But also he has a few songs that kind of talk about like how the way the AI is going to control, he doesn't specifically talk about this, but this is where I extrapolate to, like the AI is going to control us not by power and like the way that we see it, like military strength and guns and stuff, like it's gonna be by entertainment, it's gonna be by controlling our like social cues and like the things that we do socially and like the way that we interact with each other. All of it will be orchestrated.
Yeah, and then that will be the ultimate control, and then once it has this rounded up, then it'll go into military mode and be like
crotch lasers. Yeah,
yeah, and get into the human juicer. Like it'll be like, we need power for the machines.
Is Father John Beyonce in there?
Yes. Okay. Beep, beep, beep. Okay. Yeah. Ah, my crotch.
It's juice.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Want to travel like a savvy jet setter? No, that doesn't mean monogramming your passport. It means making smart decisions every step of your trip, which means knowing your options. Smart Travel unpacks the facts, like which booking sites actually save money, how to fly first class using points, and if that fancy travel card is a smart investment, all so you can save more on your next adventure.
Follow Smart Travel from NerdWallet today and start traveling like a pro.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
All right. Well, Brandon, scroll back up because that brings us to this episode's question of the week.
Question of the week. What's the best movie about the Earth?
Okay, I ask that because our subject for this week is the Earth as a cake.
Okay.
It's in layers.
Oh, like an ogre.
Scientists are rewriting science because they found this discovery that the Earth probably has another layer to its spherical cake body, right? It's like one ball on top of another, like making a rubber band ball. That's kind of how the Earth layer is layered itself.
Yeah, yeah.
It's more than that. It was like gravitational pull of all the... of all the particles that were in the solar system that were orbiting around the sun as the sun's gravity was being, you know, pulled upon. Finally, we got a ball. It got hotter. It, you know, did all these things until we got a big, huge Earth thing, right? So they think that there's another layer to it. And this is where we, earlier this morning, tested my knowledge of the previous layers.
Is it there's Rice Krispies?
Yeah. There's the part that's covered in bacteria and worms and humans and wolves and stuff.
Then there's the
nougat. Then the lava monster habitat full of lava, of course. And then like a golf ball or something in the middle, like the core or something, right? Now, I'm being silly, obviously, and delivered as a performance. This is different.
Wait, there's no nougat?
There's no nougat, Brandon. It turns out that the great nougat well of New Zealand is of Zealand, excuse me.
Nougat Zealand. Thank you.
thank you. Has dried up. It's all gone. The world is out of nougat.
Talking about Nougat Zealand makes me want to think about all of the other like food-based countries that there could be.
Yeah, I'm terrible at this game, but I'm in. I think of like it being like the Duke of Cadbury Cream Earth or something like that. Like there's like a, rather than nougat, it's that weird kind of like eggy looking center.
Yeah.
There's nothing I dislike candy-wise. Well, probably coconut is probably my least favorite.
Oh, dude, me too.
Yeah?
Yeah, Three Musketeers.
Yeah. Three Musketeers? Three Musketeers is nougat, right?
Oh, wait, is that one? No, what's the one I'm thinking of?
You're thinking Almond Joy?
Almond Joy, yeah, the worst.
Yeah, no, yeah. The turds. Yeah, it's just the... Yeah. It's not for me, that's for sure. Yeah, so what could the Earth be filled with? This is fun. Like, what are your favorite candies? It's really fascinating to me because we'll get to the layers of what the Earth is actually made of, because I really didn't know much about this. And the reason why I ask what's your favorite movie about the Earth is because we're going to the core, and that might be Brandon's favorite movie of Earth-related geology movie.
Have you seen The Core? Have you at least seen The Core?
I've seen some of The Core.
Okay. Good enough for me. I think that's as good as we're going to get. Like, this is one of those movies where I feel like I almost live in like a fever dream where I go around being like, have you seen The Core? And no other person has ever said yes. Like, I feel like I'm the only person that's ever seen The Core. Because I feel like that came out around a time where all of these movies about like what was it? Like 2012 and the Day After Tomorrow or The Day After Next or something like that, where all these movies were coming out that were kind of like apocalyptic. And I feel like in the future there's going to be a total like Berenstain Bears controversy about whether or not The Core actually existed or not, and everybody's gonna be like, aren't you thinking about The Middle? And I'm gonna be like, no, it was The Core and it had these people in it. And
was it made in Nougat Zealand?
Yeah. But the thing about this movie is that that has always stood out to me is that the idea is that the Earth stops rotating. And the reason that the Earth stops rotating is because the core of the Earth stopped rotating. And so the way to solve
this... Wait, is the Earth slowing or did it stop?
Maybe it was slowing. Like, it was in the process of slowing. And so, like, the atmosphere was, like, basically this a massive Death Star laser beam shot down at the Golden Gate Bridge and, like, melted it in half. And my favorite thing about, like, all of these movies that came out around this time or that have this kind of like apocalyptic premise, like Armageddon, is like the solution always is let's nuke it. Let's nuke it.
Let's nuke it.
So like in Armageddon, right? It's like asteroids coming toward Earth. Let's send miners to space to nuke the asteroid into two pieces.
To nuke it.
In the core, the way that they're going to save the planet is to send some miners into the core of the Earth to drill down to the core of the Earth and nuke it.
Well, it's not an uncommon idea. It's something that they've done historically. We'll get to it here in just a minute. But it's like the Earth as we know it is pretty wild because, you know, we can only see like a section of it that appears flat to us, which is a huge concept challenge for a lot of people or whatever. But like you look up at the sky and it's infinite, and then you think back down to the ground and that seems limitless as well. And they're just like, you're so small on this giant thing or whatever.
Yeah, I think that we haven't even been to the bottom of the ocean.
Yeah, and like, so the way that the planet lines up is that there's four major layers to it that they talk about. This is from USGS to like I looked a lot of places to like find out about this. There's the crust, which is where we live, which is the outer part. It's the candy shell on the nougat centered planet candy. All right, and that is the crust itself is thinner than the already like tiny layer that we have of atmosphere around the Earth. So like from space you can see allegedly just how little shell that we have on the planet keeping the oxygen and everything else inside of it. Then you have the crust that goes down a little bit and you get to the mantle, and the top layer of mantle is solid still. It transitions down further, it becomes like a magma, more like viscous, which means thick and sticky, I suppose. Shout outs to Siege.
Shout outs to the kissing robot.
Oh, we should get one for Siege.
Yes.
I just get texts all the time being like, you want to kiss? I'm like, no! Leave me alone! Anyway.
He puts your kissing robot on a Roomba that follows you around the house.
I just put peanut butter on it, let my dog go to town on it.
Siege is like, wow, you've been extra into this lately.
I can't say that. That's coming out. Okay, so there's these four recognized layers. There's the crust, there's the mantle, there's the outer core, and there's the inner core. Okay, then this research project comes around, and they start to figure out that there's actually another layer, which is the inner core, which is ridiculous, obviously. From Engadget, a team at Australian National University found evidence of a new fifth layer to the planet. It's an iron-nickel alloy ball. Can you look up the word alloy for me, please?
Yeah.
It's in the inner core. Scientists found the hidden core by studying seismic waves that travel up to five times across the Earth's diameter. Previous studies only looked at a single bounce. And so when they started looking for it to come back, they realized something was affecting it and like, oh, crap, that could actually be like a solid piece of metal on the inside. How they actually know any of this blows my mind, but it's pretty sweet.
It's we sent all those miners to... miners, M-I-N-E-R-S.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Not the children. We sent all the children to the center of the Earth to nuke it. An alloy is a substance that combines more than one metal or mixes a metal with other non-metallic elements. So
steel.
Steel.
Is an alloy.
Yeah. Okay. Well, if it's two different types of metals mixed together, then yes.
Okay. Well, the certainly the people at the USGS who have dedicated their lives to lying to us about round Earth are back with knowledge of how seismic waves would travel through the planet. And they can deduce, I guess, what's possibly going on in there. And it's about how there's like different layers that like something will move through liquid differently than it moves through a solid. And so they can kind of figure out by studying over and over. And it's kind of weird because you got to think that when these Turkish earthquakes start happening and stuff, that they probably like are studying that despite the fact that, you know, tens of thousands of people die from it because they need to know what to look for another time or whatever and to better understand it.
Well, I mean, we're going to get to the point where, I mean, to bring it back to AI, right? Like, we're going to get to the point where we're going to be able to feed so much data about how, like, the amplitude of an earthquake and how it affected other regions and kind of how those seismic waves went. And we have these Richter scales set up around the world, right, that are measuring even the most minute levels of activity on the Earth, right? And so, like, at some point, we're going to be able to feed all of this data into some artificial intelligence that's going to be able to say, if an earthquake happens here, you know, like almost like butterfly effect in a way, then on this side of the planet, this thing will happen, right? Like, if so much data is gathered that it should be able to predict a lot of, or at least within like a margin of error, right? Like,
yeah, because you understand where the fractures are in the earth and where the materials change, and so you should be able to, if you have enough data points, you should be able to be like, well, it'll travel through this at this speed if it's this type of, if it's a slow big shake that's high up, or if it's a, or you know, the like depth of the shake is a thing. And so once we can like three-dimensionally imagine how the waves travel through stuff, then
like when there's an earthquake in one place, they're always saying, well, there's a tsunami warning in effect for this place, right? Like, we're already trying to do our best at predicting how one event causes another, and sometimes those tsunamis happen and sometimes they don't, you know. And like, imagine getting to the point where, like, not only will it be tsunami, they will be like 10-foot waves, it will be a category this blah 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 and nothing to worry about, right? Like, you think about when Mount St. Helens blew up in 1980, right? Mm-hmm. When that happened, it was a surprise, right? Like, there was a certain element of geologists who were able to say, like, yeah, it's been a lot more active. It will likely erupt here soon. Enough to the point where anybody who was on the mountain, right, like the one guy who decided to stay on the mountain, had enough warning that he could have left, but decided not to, right? He wanted to be the guy that got killed by the mountain.
Sorry to laugh, guy.
Yeah, sorry, dude. Your choice. The reason I say that is because, like, I have two brothers that both live in Enumclaw, which is at the base of Mount Rainier, which
outside
is
of Seattle,
one of the like largest and most overdue to erupt volcanoes on the planet.
Yeah, it's like 10,000 years overdue, but it could go as many as 100,000 before it erupts, like that, by our estimates.
Well, and what's crazy about it is, like, I get irrationally concerned about things like this, about like volcanoes and earthquakes and things. And part of that was probably just growing up in Seattle. And in 2001, as a kid, like, there was a big earthquake, right? And we were all like, I lived pretty far away from where the epicenter was, and I was looking outside of my window, and it looked like the playground was jumping up and down, you know.
Where was it?
It's the Nisqually quake. It happened close to Olympia, the state's capital. I know you know what the state's capital is.
No, I know, but that's the context.
So the reason I say all that is because, like, now Mount Rainier and most, you know, active volcanoes, even the ones that are constantly kind of erupting or slowly off-gassing kind of all of the time, is so monitored that, like, when there was a cloud over the mountain that looked like it was steam rising from it, and a reporter, like a from a local station, said, "What is this?" and like sent everybody into a frenzy, including me, who's like texting my brother being like, "Hey man, like, any news down in Enumclaw about this?" And he was like, "No, that's it." And then it turned out it was nothing, and like the USGS, who has like a million monitors on the mountain, was like, no, like, it's nothing, like, we would know if it were."
But everyone's like, "My eyes say that there's fire. That's gas escaping. It's gonna blow. Why would they tell us? They've dedicated their whole careers to lying to us. Why would they tell us now? They want us to die."
they've been spending all of this time investing in crotch lasers.
So a volcano itself is a rupture in the crust. of the earth in this case that allows like lava to come up through the, like I started to say, there's crust and then there's the solid, then there's the solid magma layer, and then the liquid magma, it ruptures and that can come up like a pocket from like a magma chamber below the surface can
like
come
a big
up
old zit.
And, yeah, it's like a big old zit,
earth zit.
And that's what marine here looks like for sure, man. It's crazy. But so like the, like the those zones that happen, there's like we're at a place where like around the tectonic plates you see that happening, but there's some other places. There's a thing called the Moho, and okay. It's because no one can pronounce the guy's name, the Mohorovicic discontinuity, the boundary between the crust and the mantle. It's discovered by this Croatian seismologist, and like he learned that there was like the different types of seismic waves that would go through and how those worked in places though, like in the Macquarie Island, which is off of Tasmania. It's a meeting point of two huge oceanic plates. That's the Pacific and the Indo-Australian plate. And the island is made of material that's just pushed up from deep in the Earth's mantle. We get like this preview of what it looks like. It turns out all the mountains everywhere, I think all of them have a bit of this, this type of mineral or this type of rock that comes up. It's called an ophiolite rock. It's formed at these places. It's like a green rock that you see there, which is pretty dope. But one of the only active place where they can see it right now is there by Tasmania, where these plates come together. And so like all these plates shifting and all these things happening are all independent of the stuff. Well, not independent, it's all one big system. But like that's the stuff that we see. We never really get a chance to understand what's going on deeper than that, to the point where geologists have been trying like to get to that, to the spot between the crust and the magma, the Moho. Again, they're trying to get there, but you got to dig down like anywhere from 5 to 100 kilometers through. Like if you were trying to do it on Everest or whatever, you'd be digging a long time. But if you do it at like our most shallow point, that's not, I guess you could even do it in the ocean, and try and dig through that to try and figure out if they can get down to understand what that actually looks like. To me, it sounds like you do that and you just create a volcano, probably.
You create the Death Star. Like that's where all of the ions are coming together, and we're gonna just blow up the moon. Like a massive laser is gonna shoot out from the middle.
No, it's like intergalactically and ends up in some other like planet like a zillion light years away.
Oh man, that was the one that had life on it.
The long after we're gone, just like that laser beam gets there and fries some aliens.
The way that, so my wife is a really good baker, and she likes to make things like banana bread. And to me, it just seems like we just need to stick a toothpick in it and see how it comes out, see if it comes out wet or dry, and then we'll know what's on the inside of the planet.
So they started this. They've been trying to do it for more than 100 years now. And the Soviets actually got down like pretty far. I'm looking for it right now. Project Mohole did not get enough support. That was canceled by us. Sorry, I lost it. The Soviets were doing it. Oh, they reached a depth of 12,260 meters over 15 years. So that's what? That's like 12 kilometers deep.
Yeah,
is that right?
Yeah.
Which is the world's deepest hole, but they abandoned the attempt in 1989. I'm guessing that there's like a hellscape of gas and fire pouring out of it. Maybe it's that place that's in like Kazakhstan or whatever
Know? Like, they call it like the
Devil's Hole or something.
Devil's Hole or something like that. Which
Devil's
is
Butthole.
Weirdly what I call my kissing machine.
But that, like, we're fascinated by this idea of digging to China, you know, and to see what's down there or whatever, and figure out what exactly is happening. That's how little information we have other than studying seismic stuff. There's no way to really be able to do it. Now, this is interesting that there is a metal ball in the center of the planet. It could likely be a source of the magnetosphere that is a layer around the Earth that when the photons and the radiation from the sun hit us, it keeps us safe from direct contact from the sun. It keeps us from melting our faces off or getting the burning away the liquid water or whatever. It's like a force field around the Earth that keeps us safe from it. I think it's also how there's elements of that is how the Northern Lights work. Is that as you're watching the particles pass through the magnetosphere, it like makes crazy interactions, and you see that. But they're trying to just, we have no idea how it is that we're able to maintain and keep this stuff attached to our planet. So they're just trying to figure out, like, if we could detect that there's a solid core on a planet, on an exoplanet somewhere else, could that be the next place that we go investigate with a 5,000-year journey to get there?
Yeah.
Which I think is pretty cool. It's a lot smarter than just like shooting magnets out there to see what happens and see if it sticks, giant Earth-sized magnets and boing, which would be dope. But
yeah, the Kola super deep borehole is the deepest. Let's see, it is the it extends to a depth of 7.5 miles, 12 kilometers, making it the deepest artificial point on Earth. It took 20 years to drill. With drilling being halted in 1992 due to higher than expected temperatures and funding issues.
So the thing that somebody's proposed now, back to what you said, is let's get it with nougat, right? They want to take a tungsten sled. I guess tungsten is resistant to heat. I'm not actually sure about that, but that's what makes me think about that. They want to send that and put a bunch of radioactive particles in it, so that way it will bore through the Earth and melt its way down. So it just... And to me, it sounds like the pressure from everything above would crush it at some point.
Right.
Maybe that would help push it through, or maybe shoot it back up, and then we end up with a tungsten sled full of radiation.
Just shooting. Like, we've created a... not only did we create a volcano, we created a nuclear volcano.
And then, of course, to try and solve it, we would nuke it. Or nuke it.
Yeah, we would nuke it. It's just like a massive Godzilla pops out.
Yeah, so, like, I mean, that's...
At the center of the Earth, it was just a salamander.
But by the time it got to the top, it was angry.
You know what's really funny about this this Kola? So do you say that because they're planning on doing it at that already created hole?
I don't know that that's the case or not. I think it's just like I think it's just the concept.
Yeah.
That there's got to be a way that doesn't have to be through digging, that maybe we could track it through without having to have that support that goes down with it. Maybe you could just send a thing with a sensor that somehow doesn't die, that you could get data back as it went to the center of the Earth.
They so this, the reason I asked that is because this hole, it looks like they filled it. But before they did, it literally looked like, from the aerial views, it looked like they were
like a tired of guys like peeing into it.
It's Calvin.
Like, could you stop? Like, no, I will not.
It looked like, it's just a massive, massive porta potty. but it looked like the way that they dug it out, it looks like the saucer from the Death Star. And it was Russia creating it. So, but you know what's funny is that they've filled a lot of it in, and just to cap it off, there's literally just like, it looks like a well cover, like a, or not like a well, it looks like a, just a, like a manhole cover, and on it in chalk, it looks like it says 12226, which is like the depth that it is, but it just looks like a thing that you'd be like, what's under there? Oh, probably poo. It's probably like a sewer hole, you know? But it's just like this well. It's just like, if you look at it, it's just the most non, like, assuming piece of metal circle, you know? I'm looking at another thing here. It's deeper than the Mariana Trench, this borehole.
Wow.
It would be funny to have peed in there, though.
I want to rank it on, like, terrible ways to die.
Yeah.
Like, slipping and falling into that, gotta be pretty awful.
The hole's, like, really, really small. It's, like, less than... I wonder what the hole size is. It's, like... Not that. How big? I'm going to just ask ChatGPT. How wide is the Kola Super Deep Borehole? Borehole also sounds like... the middle school way of telling somebody that they're boring.
You're a borehole.
You're such a borehole. It's 9 inches wide.
I'm like figuring that out. So it's not a foot across.
It's not even a foot across.
You could definitely get your head stuck in there, though, if you were trying to be weird.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. It's put a kissing machine on top of that.
Some cultures, you use a hole in the ground as your bathroom.
Yeah.
If people can't fall in... I'm at it.
Yeah.
No, it's just, I mean, just like make it functional.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I don't know. I don't really think I understand any more about the Earth after this, and I think it takes like a geology degree to probably really figure it out. But I'm fascinated that there's like a metal alloy ball and there's like a BB in the middle of the planet or whatever.
I feel like that's just what I would have assumed.
Yeah, I always thought that there was a... I always knew that there's nickel iron in the middle, but I guess I never realized that it was like a hardened... Like lump or something like that. I don't know. And then like, do the gas giants have that too? Is there any kind of corona gas giant, or is it all gases?
Is it just a big gassy boy?
Just a big old gassy boy with a, can you drill a hole in that? Is it easier, or the atmosphere is way, 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 way deeper on these planets or whatever. So yeah, I don't know. I don't really feel good about learning anything today.
Well, you know what I learned.
What did you learn? What, that brings us around to what did you learn today?
Actually, I learned that the cross-section that you took of the Earth looks like a slice of pizza, and it's very apt that the top is called the crust.
Oh, that's what I wanted to ask. Like, things that have crusts, which is best and worst, but pizza, pie.
Oh, yeah. Pie. Yes. I feel like pizza's probably up there. Bread.
Yeah, bread crust. Ooh, yeah. Like homemade like bread. Like, I don't know, white bread crust is not. I can neither here nor there.
But like a homemade bread, though.
Yeah, with some butter on that. Yeah. Oh, man.
Question, what's the best movie about the Earth, and what's the best crust?
Yeah, that's good. Ask ChatGPT what the best crust. It'll say, like, that's an opinion thing or whatever. List the different types of crusts.
I did ask ChatGPT what the best movie about Earth is. And it did say that there are many great movies about the Earth, but one that stands out, which I'm like, why? Why? What did you learn about the Earth by watching this movie, ChatGPT? Which now I want to watch it to know what the AI knows. It's called Home by Jan Arthus Bertrand. So I haven't seen this, but it's a visually stunning documentary. It takes viewers on a breathtaking journey around the world, showcasing the natural beauty of our planet while also exploring the devastating impact of human activity on the environment, like digging big old
poop holes
in it. The best crust is a matter of personal preference and can vary depending on the type of food being served. For example, a pizza crust may be best when it's thin and crispy, while a pie crust may be best when it's flaky and buttery. It's funny that
ask it to list different crusts. Like, what are some crusts?
Yeah.
Name a bunch of crusts.
The best crust types. What are?
Don't do best because that it loses it.
Yeah, what are types of crust? Yeah. It says it did say some popular crusts include New York style pizza crust, deep dish pizza crust, graham cracker crust, flaky pie crust. Now I've just asked it what are types of crust. And it's kind of hit all of the spots that we've talked about. So pastry crust, which we didn't talk about, but pizza crust, bread crust, graham cracker crust, and cookie crust made with crushed cookie and butter. Cookie crusts are used for pies and other desserts. And now I'm hungry.
I think the number one crust for me is the crust of Earth, because we kind of need it to live until we understand how to tame the lava monsters. And then, and probably pizza crust after that. I love a pizza crust. How come it's so chewy sometimes, though? I don't want it to be chewy.
I think it would be, you would actually really like this place in town where I live that has, they make all of their crust day of. And the reason that you would like that is because it would be less chewy because there's been less time for the gluten bonds to form in the crust. And so the more time that you let your crust rise, the more bonds that the gluten is able to make. Or it also sometimes depends on how many times you've either kneaded it or you've stretched and folded and doing all that stuff to create more of those bonds. So you want to find a place that makes their crust the same day that you eat it.
Okay.
Cool. I learned that...
Let's start that over again now. Okay. So we're at the end of learning about crust and the Earth. What did you learn this week?
I learned that my favorite crust might be Nougat Zealand. Did you learn anything this week?
I just learned that you want your crust made day of. That's great. Yeah. Anything else there?
Yeah, I learned that if there's ever a catastrophic or apocalyptic problem facing the Earth, you just need a nougat. Nerd talk, talking about nerd talk,
yeah! Yeah. That sounds sweet.
I've learned that you've actually seen parts of this movie that I thought didn't exist, the core.
Yeah, because it looks like the Seattle monorail trying to go to the center of the earth, and then like the shielding is going to fail, and they're all in trouble, and then one guy's got to fix it. He probably dies or something like that.
He does,
and then,
yeah.
They have to
Aaron
jettison.
Aaron Eckhart.
Oh, yeah.
It's like your classic, like, I would say B-plus movie cast in it. Like Aaron Eckhart, Hilary Swank, Bruce Greenwood.
Swank's a winner. Doesn't she have an Oscar?
Probably. Yeah.
Yeah, I think she does.
Okay, I take all of this back because Stanley Tucci's in it.
Yeah, look at that.
Delroy Lindo. I don't know. I didn't know who he was before, but now he's like definitely one of those guys who you see in everything, but you don't know who he is.
DJ Qualls was in it?
Yeah. Who's that? I don't know who that is.
He was in one of the road trip type movies or something like that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. The movie called Road Trip.
Yeah, but was it Road Trip that he was in?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I don't recognize most of these people because I don't watch many films, but I do know that Hilary Swank,
I should know more about this guy because he looks like one of those very serious actors that happened to be in this movie. His name is Che Cario, or Checky Cario. French actor and musician of Turkish origin.
Looks
classy as hell, but to me, all I see is like Christoph Waltz before Christoph Waltz was cool.
Oh yeah, he looks like the villain. I remember him being in stuff, and I can't, like, he's like the bad guy in Sniper or something like that. You know,
yeah,
what I mean?
like
that type of guy.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Bell and Sebastian, he is in that.
Well, thanks for joining us for a very weird episode of Nerd Talk Plus, and talk to you next Tuesday at 10 or anytime. You can download it from the Odyssey app and have a lovely life.
I think we just haven't seen each other in a couple weeks, and we're just catching up on our like favorite crusts and our favorite B-list movies.
Yeah, that's right. Also, subscribe to Full 90 Soccer Time Podcast. We're going to do our season preview this week sometime.
After the game started, after the match starts. Bye.
MLB.TV is home to baseball's biggest stars. Watch every out-of-market game, live or on demand.
He got it! Woo! This is unbelievable!
Plus, you'll get 24/7 access to MLB Network. Stream every big pitch.
He struck him out!
Every home run.
Gone!
Everything baseball. All season long on MLB.TV. Start a free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
So the thing that somebody's proposed now, back to what you said, is let's get it with Nougat, right? They want to take a tungsten sled. I guess tungsten is resistant to heat. I'm not actually sure about that, but that's what makes me think about that. They want to send that and put a bunch of radioactive particles in it. So that way it will bore through the earth and melt its way down. So it just, and to me, it sounds like the pressure from everything above would crush it at some point.
Right.
Maybe that would help push it through, or maybe shoot it back up, and then we end up with a tungsten sled full of radiation.
Just shooting, like, we've created a, not only did we create a volcano, we created a nuclear volcano.
And then, of course, to try and solve it, we would nuke it, or nuke it.
Yeah, we would nuke it. It's just like a massive Godzilla pops out.
Yeah, so, like, I mean, that's
at the center of the earth, it was just a salamander.
But by the time it got to the top, it was angry.
You know what's really funny about this this cola is, or, so do you say that because they're planning on doing it at that already created hole?
I don't know that that's the case or not. I think it's just like I think it's just the concept.
Yeah.
That there's got to be a way that doesn't have to be through digging, that maybe we could track it through without having to have that support that goes down with it. Maybe you could just send a thing with a sensor that somehow doesn't die, that you could get data back as it went to the center of the earth.
They, so this, the reason I asked that is because this hole, it looks like they filled it. But before they did, it literally looked like, from the aerial views, it looked like they were
like a tired of guys like peeing into it.
It's Calvin.
Like, could you stop? Like, no, I will not.
It looked like it's just a massive massive porta potty. but they, it looked like the way that they dug it out, it looks like the saucer from the Death Star. And it was Russia creating it. So, but you know what's funny is that they've filled a lot of it in, and just to cap it off, there's literally just like, it looks like a well cover, like a, or not like a well, it looks like a, just a, like a manhole cover, and on it in chalk, it looks like it says 12226, which is like the depth that it is, but it just looks like a thing that you would, you'd be like, what's under there? Oh, probably poo. It's probably like a sewer hole, you know, but it's just like this well, it's just like, if you look at it, it's just the most non, like assuming piece of metal circle, you know. I'm looking at another thing here. It's deeper than the Mariana Trench, this borehole.
Wow.
It would be funny to have peed in there, though.
I want to rank it on like terrible ways to die.
Yeah, yeah.
Like slipping and falling into that. Gotta be pretty awful.
The hole's like really, really small. It's like less than, I wonder what the hole size is. It's like, not that. How big? I'm going to just ask ChatGPT. How wide is the Kola Super Deep Borehole? Borehole also sounds like the middle school way of telling somebody that they're boring.
You're a borehole.
You're such a borehole. It's 9 inches wide.
I'm like figuring that out. So it's not a foot across.
It's not even a foot across.
You could definitely get your head stuck in there, though, if you were trying to be weird.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. It's put a kissing machine on top of that.
Some cultures, you use a hole in the ground as your bathroom.
Yeah.
If people can't fall in, come at it.
Yeah.
No, it's just, make it functional.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I don't know. I don't really think I understand any more about the Earth after this, and I think it takes like a geology degree to probably really figure it out. But I'm fascinated that there's like a metal alloy ball and there's like a BB in the middle of the planet or whatever.
I feel like that's just what I would have assumed.
Yeah, I always thought that there was a, I always knew that there's nickel iron in the middle, but I guess I never realized that it was like a hardened, like lump or something like that. I don't know. And then like, do the gas giants have that too? Is there any kind of corona gas giant, or is it all gases?
Is it just a big gassy boy?
Just a big old gassy boy can you drill a hole in that? Is it easier, or the atmosphere is way, 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 way deeper on these planets or whatever. So yeah, I don't know. I don't really feel good about learning anything today.
Well, you know what I learned.
What did you learn? That brings us around to what did you learn today?
Actually, I learned that the cross section that you took of the Earth looks like a slice of pizza, and it's very apt that the top is called the crust.
Oh, that's what I wanted to ask. Like, things that have crusts, which is best and worst, but pizza, pie.
Oh, yeah. Pie. Yes. I feel like pizza's probably up there. Bread.
Yeah, bread crust. Ooh, yeah. Like homemade bread. Like, I don't know, white bread crust is not, neither here nor there.
But like a homemade bread, though.
Yeah, with like some butter on that. Yeah. Oh, man.
Question, what's the best movie about the Earth, and what's the best crust?
Yeah, that's good. Ask ChatGPT what the best crust. It'll say like, that's an opinion thing or whatever. List the different types of crusts.
I did ask ChatGPT what the best movie about Earth is. And it did say that there are many great movies about the Earth, but one that stands out, which I'm like, why? Why? What did you learn about the Earth by watching this movie, ChatGPT? Which now I want to watch it to know what the AI knows. It's called Home by Jan Arthus Bertrand. So I haven't seen this, but it's a visually stunning documentary. Takes viewers on a breathtaking journey around the world, showcasing the natural beauty of our planet while also exploring the devastating impact of human activity on the environment, like digging big old
poop holes
in it. The best crust is a matter of personal preference and can vary depending on the type of food being served. For example, a pizza crust may be best when it's thin and crispy, while a pie crust may be best when it's flaky and buttery. It's funny that
Ask it to list different crusts. Like, what are some crusts?
Yeah.
Name a bunch of crusts.
The best crust types. What are
Don't do best because that it
yeah,
loses
what are
it
types of crust. Yeah. It says it did say some popular crusts include New York style pizza crust, deep dish pizza crust, graham cracker crust, flaky pie crust. Now I've just asked it what are types of crust, and it's kind of hit all of the spots that we've talked about. So pastry crust, which we didn't talk about, but pizza crust, bread crust, graham cracker crust, and cookie crust made with crushed cookie and butter. Cookie crusts are used for pies and other desserts. And now I'm hungry.
I think the number one crust for me is the crust of Earth,
yeah,
because we kind of need it to live until we understand how to tame the lava monsters. And then, yeah, and probably pizza crust after that. I love a pizza crust.
I love a pizza crust.
How come it's so chewy sometimes, though? I don't want it to be chewy.
I think it would be... you would actually really like this place in town where I live that has they make all of their crust day of, and the reason that you would like that is because it would be less chewy because there's been less time for the gluten bonds to form in the crust, and so the more time that you let your crust rise, the more bonds that the gluten is able to make. Or it also sometimes depends on how many times you've either kneaded it or you've stretched and folded and doing all that stuff to create more of those bonds. So you want to find a place that makes their crust the same day that you eat it.
Okay.
Well, cool. I learned that.
Well, let's start that over again now. Okay. So we're at the end of learning about crust and the Earth. What did you learn this week?
I learned that my favorite crust might be Nougat Zealand. Did you learn anything this week?
I just learned that you want your crust made day of. That's great. Yeah. Anything else there?
Yeah, I learned that if there's ever a catastrophic or apocalyptic problem facing the Earth, you just need a nougat. Nerd talk, talking about nerd talk,
yeah! Yeah, that sounds sweet.
I've learned that you've actually seen parts of this movie that I thought didn't exist, the core.
Yeah, because it looks like the Seattle monorail trying to go to the center of the Earth, and then like the shielding is going to fail, and they're all in trouble, and then one guy's got to fix it. He probably dies or something like that.
He does,
and then, like,
yeah.
They have to
Aaron
jettison.
Eckhart.
Oh, yeah.
It's like your classic, like, I would say B-plus movie cast in it. Like Aaron Eckhart, Hilary Swank, Bruce Greenwood.
Swank's a winner. Doesn't she have an Oscar?
Probably. Yeah.
Yeah, I think she does.
Okay, I take all of this back because Stanley Tucci's in it.
Yeah, look at that.
Delroy Lindo. I don't know. I didn't know who he was before, but now he's like definitely one of those guys who you see in everything, but you don't know who he is.
DJ Qualls was in it?
Yeah. Who's that? I don't know who that is.
He was in one of the road trip type movies or something like that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. The movie called Road Trip.
Yeah, but was it Road Trip that he was in?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I don't recognize most of these people because I don't watch many films, but I do know that Hilary Swank,
I should know more about this guy because he looks like one of those very serious actors that happened to be in this movie. His name is Che Cario, or Cheki Cario. French actor and musician of Turkish origin.
He looks
classy as hell, but to me, all I see is like Christoph Waltz before Christoph Waltz was cool.
Oh, yeah. He looks like the villain. I remember him being in stuff, and I can't, like, he's like the bad guy in Sniper or something like that. You know
what
I mean?
Yeah,
he's like that type of guy.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Belle and Sebastian, he is in that.
Well, thanks for joining us for a very weird episode of Nerd Talk Plus. And talk to you next Tuesday at 10 or anytime. You can download it from the Odyssey app and have a lovely life.
I think we just haven't seen each other in a couple weeks, and we're just catching up on our like favorite crusts and our favorite B-list movies.
Yeah, that's right. Also, subscribe to Full 90 Soccer Time Podcast. We're going to do our season preview this week sometime.
After the game started. After the match started. Bye.